Howdy, hello, and hi. Welcome to Tech Girl Talk, the podcast about surviving and thriving as a girl in tech. I am Marietta, and I call myself the podcast queen as your main host. Today's episode is about intersectionality. I intended to be more about intersectionality as a woman in tech, but it ended up being more of a discussion about intersectionality in general because it's quite a broad and interesting topic. The episode itself will dive deeper into that, so you get to learn more about what that is. Here is the episode.
Today we're going to be discussing intersectionality in tech, because as a woman in tech podcast, we also have to recognize that there isn't just one way to be a woman. There are multiple ways and multiple identities that intersect that one identity of being a woman. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that today and define some terms and just have a discussion about what it's like to bring your various identities to the workplace. So my name is Marietta, and I am an African-American woman in tech. Can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, so I am Gurdev Sira. I am an Indian-American woman in tech.
Thank you. So I'm going to start by defining kind of what intersectionality means for this conversation. I was reading an article by NC WIT, which is the National Center for Women in Technology, about this exact topic. And one of the sentences it had in there was this: an intersectional approach recognizes that one's social location, oftentimes shaped by race, class, gender, and other dimensions of who we are, creates multiple interconnected identities and distinct experiences. So to sort of summarize that, it's basically saying that everything about us, the different parts of who we are, where we come from, like those define our identities type of thing. That was just saying the same thing over and over again. But like the various parts of our lives and experiences combine to make us who we are. So it's not just that like, oh, the race, class, and gender like that make us who we are, but also like, oh, did you grow up in this neighborhood? Or did you grow up with like how many siblings? Just it can be very broad, it can be very minute, but all these things combine to make us who we are and our experiences and our identities. So intersectionality is about identifying that and supporting all parts of that within the broader like feminist movement, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost kind of like you can't really be a true feminist if you don't understand how intersectionality works, because feminism is more of like a really broad level, kind of like what you were saying in terms of the feminist movement. Mm-hmm. And then intersectionality is something that we should believe at our own core.
Yeah.
Everyone has their own biases at the same time as everyone has their own, what would you call it in terms of like, judgment. Mm-hmm. Everyone has their own biases and everyone has their own judgments in terms of like how they come off across to the world.
Yeah, for sure. Yes.
Well, in terms of my own experiences with being an Indian American woman in tech, at my school, which is San Jose State University, cutting that ad on, hopefully President Papazan catching wind of this. there are a lot of international students here, and I do realize that it's so great that a lot of people are coming from all over the world to get into tech and coming here to California. But I also do notice that when I talk to teachers, a lot of the default is that they do assume that I am either a grad student, because a lot of grad students or international students, although I am Indian American, and that doesn't have a negative side effect on me at all. But I do notice that in terms of a lot of immigrants who come here, there is a lot of negative connotations towards them. Mm-hmm. Including a lot of just anyone who comes here from a different country. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that I kind of get put into that default view just because I'm an Indian American. And I also do feel like because I am a woman, I don't get picked as much when I'm in groups. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of times where I'll get put into a group and a lot of the guys can sort of bond with each other faster than they can bond with me in a way. I don't really make friends easily in groups, just because I find that if I'm in a group of girls, we all click really fast. And I feel like we try to make it so that any gender can feel okay in our group. But I also notice that when I'm in a group of like majority guys, they sort of turn into their own friend group and sort of they're not exactly mean or offensive to me at all, but it's almost just a subconscious thing of just, we feel like we're just a bit different than you. And they kind of just want to focus on that.
Right. Yeah. I feel that as well. And I just wanted to clarify. So the reason that you get kind of grouped into the international students is because most of the international students at our school are from India?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, yeah. I would say just in like Asia in general too. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And also probably because I also feel like this also plays in terms of my socioeconomic standing, but mm-hmm. because I am able to live at home mm-hmm. and I'm also able to have a part-time job where I don't have to spend that money on anything super necessary at the moment, which is extremely grateful for. But I also do have that privilege of being able to spend my money on food and clothing if needed and anything else. So I find that I also find that I can dress well in terms of I feel like I dress like I'm 24 sometimes. That's my style and how I look like. So I think that's maybe why people may group me in the international student range, because I look older, so I'm most likely a graduate student, but they don't realize I'm 21 with the brain of a 30-year-old.
The brain of a 30-year-old, that's yeah. delightful.
My mom would always be like, why do you like these styles, Karina? You dress like this when you have a job. And
that's great that you're already grown up and you're like, you're just here. That's good. You got it out of the way.
I got offered like wine samples at 20 and I was like, that's illegal. You can't serve me this.
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
They're like, man, we're in a public setting. Just take the wine.
That's delightful. But another aspect, because I certainly agree that you would be, because a large majority of the international, a large majority of the master's students are at our school are international students from majorly from India. Mm-hmm. So I can see that you would get grouped into that and like people would think that's part of the demographic that you fall under. Mm-hmm. But then what you said about the money thing also kind of makes me think, because the people that are able to come here from a different country to sort of go back to school, like get another degree, they this isn't true for everyone of them, of course, but they have to generally be on the more wealthier side because it's very expensive, like especially the conversion rates, like the amount of money you have to put to convert to like $1 here is like ridiculous. So the amount of money it would take to translate your local currency from your place of birth to here is just a lot. And I think that people that do that generally have to be a bit more financially stable to manage that. But then what I'm thinking about is like the representation of people that aren't as financially stable in that, because you still want opportunity for your children. You still want to send them to another country and like have them be educated like in tech or whatever and like earn that like social mobility. But it's kind of like harder to do that if you aren't that well off, because I know this girl at the school, I'm not gonna say her name or anything, does nothing bad, but just because I remembered that she had broken her glasses and I was like, and she was like talking about how it's expensive to get them replaced, like an official place. And then I know that my friend got her glasses at the mall, like maybe like $90 or something. So I was like, oh yeah, there's that place in the mall. It's like really cool. And she was like, and I was like, it's like maybe $90 or something. And she was like, that's still too expensive for me. And that was like kind of surprising to me, which is definitely like a reflection on my status, because like for me, glasses being $90, I'm like, oh, that's pretty affordable. Like, because I'm more well off, like I'm very financially stable. I have parents that pay for a lot of things for me. I have loans. I have a job that helps out and stuff. But because of that, like to me, $90 for glasses, I'm like, that's affordable. She was like, I gotta eat. Like, I can't really afford that. So it's kind of because she's an international student in undergrad though. Mm-hmm. But like, probably I think because like I spend a lot of time thinking that if you're an international student, like you have more money because you have to like come here because you need money. Like, it's very expensive to immigrate.
Yeah.
So you need money to come here, first of all. But it's just kind of interesting. Like, yeah, no, that's not everybody. Like, you can still not be that well off and like have to struggle. And I don't even know how I should manage that. It's just like, interesting to think about, like, inside of me, and just, like, the reality of it, that not everybody has the same opportunity. So, like, while I'm over here, like, I can see well, I can see the board, do my homework, it's like, she's struggling to just look, and she can't afford, like, it's not that dramatic, but it's just, it is, in a way, though. I'm just rambling, but basically, it's just different statuses, different opportunities and stuff.
Yeah. And it's really weird to think that such a little thing can have such a big impact on someone else.
Yeah.
Especially the glasses thing. I totally understand that. Like, if I take off my glasses, like, I can't see, like, 5 feet away from me. But that really sucks for your friend.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that's sad. And I just hadn't thought about that. So that was why it's kind of stuck with me.
Kind of like the realization that there's, like, a lot more going on underneath the surface of your friend.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, like, always good to think about that, because it's, like, you never know what's going on with somebody. Like, there are many different things happening in somebody's life that you can't predict or, like, be able to know from looking at them. So be cognizant of that and be nice about it, I guess. Just be kind to everybody, because you don't know what's going on. I mean, even if you don't know what's going on, like, still be kind. People deserve kindness. So I was listening to this other podcast. Plug another podcast within my podcast, right? Of course, Equality. So it's called the Modern Vigorous Podcast. It's by these two wonderful, like, women that are doctors in computer science, like, two Black women that are doctors in computer science. And the reason I know about them is, like, they were at Grace Hopper, and they were, like, they had a booth and everything. They were handing out cards, and I love them so much. Like, I love their logo. I just love everything about them, and their podcast, like, gives me life. And when I was listening one time, they were talking to a woman that's doing research about being a woman of color and things like that in computing world and engineering. I unfortunately forgot her name and didn't write it down. Sorry, but it was episode 3 of that podcast, Modern Figures Podcast, and I'm going to ask you that question. I feel like she was doing research on, I'm going to ask you some question that she asked her research participants, because I found it to be really insightful and I was like, wow, I really want to know the answer to that question. Mm-hmm. And once you give examples, I was like, this is incredible. So question is this. It says write down, but just, like, think about / say. So say 3 of your identities. Choose one that you identify with the most, one that you admire the most, and one stereotype about that identity that is not true.
Okay. I think I would say one would be computer scientist, because I feel like right now, code is my life. second, could I say student?
If you feel like that's part of your identity, then sure.
Okay.
If your identity is completely up to you, whatever you define it as. Like, okay, if you want some examples, and, like, because it's completely, there are a million different things I can identify. You can identify as a glasses wearer, for example. But, like, some of them that she gave was, like race, gender, sexual orientation. It could be, status and family, like, middle child versus, like, firstborn or something, like, immigration status, like, just general, like, things like that, just the wide array, whatever comes to your mind that you identify with, that you think is a big part of your identity.
Okay, I think I'll keep it at computer scientist. Mm-hmm. Maybe I won't do student. I think instead I may do Indian, because I have, like, a weird connection where I feel so, I have obviously, like, Indian friends, but I feel so disconnected from the culture. I sometimes wonder if, like, I look at people, like, who are also Indian, and I just don't see myself as that. It's just such a harsh out-of-body experience. Mm. And the third identity would be like, movie/TV analyzer, just because I have my own website where I post some movie reviews, but there hasn't been that many. And I love watching a lot of movie, like, and analyzing videos, like, a lot. And I would say, in terms of the stereotype that I would want to pinpoint, and probably be Indian, just because I actually had a friend who was talking to me about a stereotype that she kind of encountered. She was in a group of people for a study group, and she would they would all have conversations about partying or drinking or whatever, and while she didn't actually participate in any of that stuff, she wouldn't be afraid to speak up or kind of just say, like, not against it or anything, but just kind of be part of the conversation, or saying, like, oh, I've tried this or that, or using cuss words. But later on in the year, a lot of she kind of asked people what they thought of her, and they felt that she was almost a goody two-shoes. Mm. And that really surprised her because she felt that she was actually really open to anything. And she kind of felt like they were only saying that because they never really went through getting to know her. They just saw that she was Indian. Despite, if you see the way she dresses, she looks hardcore, essentially. She looks like she can, like, beat you up. And yeah. And it's really weird for people to say that about her. And I feel like for being Indian, I feel like a lot of my identity is just based on the fact that I'm probably complacent. And maybe the fact that I try to use humor is because it's like, you want to separate that part from you.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of people sometimes will automatically think that you won't do a lot more. You won't be as risky just because you're a certain race.
I can definitely see that. You go allowed to like present whatever version of yourself that you want to. And I feel a similar thing to that because like I also, even though I present as somebody that's Black, I don't identify with a lot of Black people because like, well, I immigrated here when I was 10 years old. So like, I never grew up with like around Black culture and just in general, like I never kind of ingratiated myself or like ingrained myself in that identity. So I see like most of the Black people I see, I don't see myself in them. I don't really, even though like my features might look like them, like I just, I'm not very similar to how their culture is. I'm just not like them, but that's something that's caused me a lot of insecurity because it feels like I'm denying myself. It's like, but that's just not really myself because myself is like Nigerian. Myself isn't like a Black American. So it just, but it's felt kind of hard coming to terms with that. It's like, that's not who I am. So it's kind of interesting, like cool to hear that that's something that you deal with as well.
Yeah. I think that's kind of what happens when, I'm assuming, because for me, when I was in high school and middle school, I noticed that a lot of my friend groups, I had like two close friends, but only like one of them was Indian. The other was Asian, half Vietnamese, but also I just didn't talk about a lot of Indian culture. And I would notice that, I guess in groups that were, they would be primarily Indian, they would seem to be more interested in the culture. Like, did you also have that experience where you've kind of felt like you weren't focused on a lot more like Black culture because like your friend groups didn't focus in on it as much? And that kind of led to like our shared out of body experience in a way. Mm. You don't really connect with it because you never really grew up around it as a kid. Yeah. It's not your family, but your family is your family, right?
Exactly.
It's different.
Yeah. It's like, and it's two separate parts of that too, because one part, like when they interact with African-American people in particular, it's like, I don't like the music and the movies, like a lot of the references that like many people would get, like I just don't get them because that's just not me. And like just a lot of things like that I should understand to be have that same like shared experience. Just like as an American teen, talk about Hannah Montana, we all know what Hannah Montana is, like, you know, but it's like they have things equivalent of those in other like in the Black culture. I don't know what they are, obviously. I mean, that's not good, but it's like things like that. And like it's like, oh, everybody knows about that. It's like, I don't know about that, but then it's harder to break into because I don't know, like it's, I just, yeah. But then on the other hand, and the other piece of that, I joined the Nigerian Student Association at our school. I was like on the board of it for like a year as well. Like I did spend the conference of the whole shebang. But I also didn't feel fully myself in that group as well, because that was the other part of it that you experienced with the, when you had Indian friends, it's like a lot of what they focused on was that culture. And like, they spoke that, like they speak in that accent. They talk about like the music and like the food a lot and things like that. It's like, okay, yeah, I am Nigerian, but it's also not that big of a part of my identity. Like, yeah, at home, my parents speak that way and we eat that food and all that stuff. But like outside of that, I just don't spend a lot of my time like that with that identity. So that was also like hard for me to like break into, because like I spent the majority of my life as American teen, like, you know, Fall Out Boy and pop music and alternative. And right, exactly. Literally, that was my entire middle school. Yeah. So like, that's my culture. And it just doesn't, that culture doesn't translate everywhere.
Culture?
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
I see what you mean.
Yeah. This had nothing to do with tech, but
it had a lot to do with tech, because I mean, in order to be a woman in tech, you have to be so secure in who you are. You've got to understand. You got no intersectionality.
Okay, and now Gurdav has to leave because you have class, right?
I have class, so I will go.
Okay, have fun in class. Bye.
Okay, have fun recording podcast. Bye.
Thank you.
The first part of this episode was with Gurdav, as you heard. And now this next part I did with Prathyusha. It's a bit weird, but it's hard to schedule because we have classes and exams and responsibilities, so we're doing the best we can. But anyway, here is the conversation that I had with Pratyusha.
Introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Pratyusha, and I'm an Indian American woman in tech. So kind of piggybacking off of what Gurdev was saying earlier about the intersectionality and identity and group projects, it kind of brings to mind an example or an experience that I had this semester where my teammates are, a majority of them are East Asian, and I'm West, South, whatever, I'm Indian. And so there's a little bit, it's not that big of a divide really, and there's a nice mix of men to women, so it's really nice. But I do feel like a little bit left out sometimes, or a little bit, you know, and not gelling as easily. So one thing that makes me feel comfortable being part of this group is that there is a very openly gay person in this group, and just him being himself makes me feel more comfortable because I am a semi-closeted bi. And yeah, it's just like knowing that here's another human that I share this connection with, you know, we're part of the same subgroup. There's a bunch of groups. Humans have so many different aspects to them. And just being connected on any level, especially any one of these like intersectionality groups or personality group, whatever it is. And just the importance of that connection might not seem obvious. Like, maybe it doesn't seem that obvious, but the way I think about it is the classic, like, the example of, oh, if there's, like, one woman in a meeting full of, like, maybe a bunch more men, and then her speaking up about an idea, she might not feel as comfortable about that, but if there was, like, a 50-50, then the woman, like, women would feel more comfortable speaking up because there's, like, they see more familiar faces, they feel more connection, and they would probably want to speak up and share an idea more. And it's the same sort of thing with any aspect of either race or gender, religion, I don't know, any sexuality, any intersectional group. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if that's kind of why we want diversity, right? We want to make sure that in a company or anywhere, we want that ratio to be kind of even, try to get all kinds of the people working to build a solution for all kinds of people. Exactly. It just makes sense.
Yes.
So that's kind of my experience with that.
Yeah. And I like that a lot. And it's good to hear that, because I think that also is where it goes into inclusion. It's like diversity, but you also feel like you felt more included in that group because there was somebody of another, like, sort of like quote unquote diverse background that you're also a part of. So that helps a lot. And especially like something that we haven't talked about yet is like, being able-bodied, because like a lot of most people I know, 99.9% of people I know are like able-bodied, and like that's like when you talk about women in tech, that's just like traditionally what you think of. Sure. And I can't, like, just like you said, like, oh, if you're a woman in a meeting, it might be harder to speak up. Like, I can't even imagine how difficult it would be, like, as a person like that is maybe in a wheelchair or something like that, like when you have close to zero representation in most circles, like how you would handle that and like be comfortable and speak up and be yourself when it just feels like you're not around.
Definitely. Yeah. And that's why it's important to have more representation with everything, including this. Just like thinking about it, because also there's special accommodations, of course, to be made for disabled people, and that could even, like, I don't know, make them feel more self-conscious in a sense, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that everyone has that chance to feel comfortable and safe and accepted, and so they can share their ideas.
Yeah, exactly. And something that, there are two things I wanted to say. One, along with the able-bodied thing, I follow this woman on Twitter. I do not know her name. I'm so sorry. I think it's Radhika. I apologize profusely. But she's a woman in tech. She is, I think, asexual or something like that. It's like in her bio. It's not like I'm outing her or whatever. Yeah. But and like one of her causes as well as like being, being disabled in tech. I might be wrong about that, but I think so, because like she often talks about how coding is the easiest part of her day because like in her life she has to deal with so many like adversities and troubles and other things in her life that are harder. And for her, it's like tech is like an escape because like this is one thing that doesn't have to, like, it's not, you know, as kind of discouraging as somebody attacking your identity, you know. So that was kind of interesting. And if I remember, I'll look up her name and I'll put it right here.
So her name is Radhika Marabia, and she actually posted that as of a couple of days ago that she would be off Twitter for the rest of the year due to dealing with some ableism and sexism, which is really sad that that has pushed her to this. But she'll be back, I think, the new year. But in the meantime, her tweets are still up in her account, and I think she's a really great person to follow because just getting more familiar with who is out there in tech is really good. And I found out a lot of things from just following her. So I highly recommend that you do that on Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah, that was that. And then the second thing I wanted to say was, so it's not something that, unfortunately, I didn't start, that I didn't do this time around, but like something I've been trying to be more conscious of lately is saying pronouns whenever I introduce myself. So like in some particular circles, when I introduce myself, I say like, my name is Marietta, I use she, her pronouns. Mm-hmm. And I want to be more cognizant about using that all the time, but I just haven't like worked it into like my habits yet. But I think from now on, we should like go on and introduce ourselves with our pronouns, because it's like, I was reading about it and it seems like such a little thing, but when somebody has to say that, that they actually need to, like, I don't have to because like I look like very feminine, but for somebody that identifies differently from that, that didn't necessarily look, then it's very important that we say the right pronouns. And it's harder to, like, that conversation is harder to have if we're not constantly having it in a way.
Yes.
So like, if you don't know how to react to somebody saying my pronouns are they, them, then it's like, if you're just like, why did you tell me your pronouns? It's like, what the heck? But like, just like we say your name, we just make it as normal as like, hey, yeah, this is my name, this is how you identify me by, like, just say it so that we're used to it. So that when somebody that actually needs to, because it's not obvious, mm-hmm, has to say it, then we're like, oh yeah, I'm used to hearing that. Let's move on. Like, not move, yeah, on, but like, let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I agree. And that's how you're a good ally, right? Yeah. That's definitely really important when what a person looks like doesn't match their pronouns, then yeah, it's really important for them that they differentiate that and they let people know that. And definitely making that part of an introduction anywhere is really important. And I see that in some, like, I'm applying for jobs right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that in actually a surprisingly low number of like job applications.
Actually, I've never seen that in a job application.
Really?
Yeah.
I've seen it in a couple, like, not enough.
Yeah.
But definitely a couple. So it'll be just the usual, like, oh, fill out your name, attach your resume and stuff. And then it'll ask, like, oh, underneath your LinkedIn handle, it'll ask, what are your pronouns?
I love that.
Yeah, and you can enter them if it doesn't match any of the choices above. And I think that's really important.
Yes. Because I literally hadn't even thought about the fact that they didn't have that, because, like, that's not an issue that I have to deal with. But it's, wow. Yeah, lot maybe, like, it needs to be included, like, everywhere now. It's just, like, because you can't just assume based on, like, what you see or whatever. But
exactly.
I like that they take the effort to, like, actually ask you so they don't misgender you.
Yeah, and that shows that they care about that.
Yes.
Like, that's really important, that they're committed to their diversity and inclusiveness.
I love that.
Yeah. The kind of the importance of my culture as an Indian and American, the importance of my culture in my life, and then how that has changed and how it's going to be, because I see, I agree that, you know, there's a lot with you as well, that there's a lot more of that, like, Indian culture heritage that happens. Like, I see more of that at home, and it's more, like, valued and more there, or not, it's, like, it's more there, it exists more. My parents and my family, and, like, we follow some, like, daily traditions and stuff, but then I don't do that as much on my own, and I don't really see myself doing all of that same, like, traditions, maybe carrying all of those as well in the future. And yeah, so I mean, one thing is that when I was younger, I didn't see this cultural divide as much, but as I'm older now, I see it more, and it bothers me more, because when I was younger, I was enrolled in classical music lessons, like traditional music lessons, from South India, all that stuff. And so I was I learned from when I was 5 years old up till high school. And then in college, it kind of became like I didn't have the passion for it necessarily to continue it, and for the passion that I had for it. And so I had to discontinue it. And I was fine with that. But in high school and college, I began to see more how people are valuing their own culture. Because when I grew up, like around my Indian and non-Indian friends, like culture wasn't really discussed. It was more like we'd tell each other, oh, it was Chinese New Year, or, oh, we're celebrating Diwali or something. And then people would say congrats. They would say congrats.
Like, that's cool. Yeah. Like, nice.
Yeah. And they'd be like, okay, nice. But then
Happy New Year, and that's it.
And that's kind of it. Yeah. That was the extent of the culture that we shared. But then as we grew older, like in high school, I saw there was like an Indian student organization. And there always has been something like that in college or in different high schools and stuff. But it honestly felt like more drama than it was worth. And it almost seemed fake to me in some cases, that people were celebrating the culture, and it felt more like a social op. It didn't really feel like it was for the culture. It felt like it was for different kind of means.
Right.
And didn't really feel as genuine or authentic to me. I wasn't really interested in joining anything like that. But people started to, whether or not it was genuine, I'm not really entirely sure for these kind of things. I'm sure some were, but like whether or not they were genuine, people started taking more of an interest in their culture. And I saw that from all backgrounds. But I still wasn't really very, like, I was like, okay, you know, some like people do seem to have like more importance to it, but I still didn't feel anything like super different. But then once I came to college, the organizations here are a little bit different because people are away from home and they miss home. So the orgs that I see here, like the Indian Student Organization here, they definitely organize events and people come and they dress up, and it's really fun. Like, we had Garba a couple weeks ago, and it was really fun to dance with everyone. And it was actually the first time I'd been to one of these events. And I didn't realize how much fun I'd been missing out on, how much pride I'd been missing out on, because I went and it was so beautiful and so fun. And I was really proud of my culture for like having this. But I don't know, like, I'm seeing that now more in college, that I want that to be more a part of my identity, but it's not. And I'm kind of sad that it's not as much. And yeah, that's just something that I'm learning to balance out and deal with. Yes. And do you also feel
yes.
the same way?
110% yes. Okay. I'm like, it's crazy because I never really talk about this to anybody. So I thought it's like, oh, that's just a me thing. But
exactly.
That's exactly it. Because like, I also... because it felt like I had to hide my identity. Because especially when I came here in middle school, like, I was bullied for my accent. So I felt like I had to just, like, stamp down that part of me. I'm like, I'm fully American.
Yes.
Don't notice me. So it's like I had to do everything in my power to assume this new identity, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then now it's like, I kept that in high school because I went to, a private school, which was, like, predominantly, like, 90% white.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, it wasn't, I didn't really still feel comfortable showing my culture there. So I just kind of spent all of middle and high school pretend I didn't have a culture. Like, at home, I
yes.
have it, but, like, outside, it's like, oh, no, I'm totally American,
yeah.
whatever that means. Yeah, and then, like, I came to college, and then it started to be more, like, maybe freshman, sophomore year, like, not that much, but, like,
mm-hmm.
people were curious. Like, friends would ask you, like, oh, tell me more about your culture. But it's, like, I spent so long, like, ignoring that I didn't have it that I don't even know how to talk about it. And
yes.
friends ask me, like, oh, what does this mean? What's that mean? I'm like, I literally don't know a single thing about my culture. And that's, like, embarrassing because, like,
yeah.
it's just, it was there. All these were, I could have learned about it. But because I didn't feel it was valuable, because I was, like, I'm going to make fun of because of this, it's going to be different.
Exactly.
And then I was just, like, no. But now it's, like, celebrating it. But it's, like, oh, my
yeah.
God, your culture. Like, let's learn about it. I'm, like, I never learned anything about it because I didn't think it'd be useful, which is not, that's not good. Like, we should value everybody's culture
yeah.
as they are.
But yeah, I agree, because the whole singing thing, like, I practiced that music. I learned that music from, like, literally when I was 5 years old. That was when I went to my first class. And I was fine, like, kind of discontinuing, kind of, like, throwing it all away, like, without a second glance, because I didn't think that it was, like, I didn't really think it was important, or
right.
that I would, you know, I would be able to celebrate it really
yeah.
as much. And then now I'm sad that it is continued. I'd like to restart again in the future. And I'm seriously thinking about it because,
it's good because now you feel like you finally feel that it'd be celebrated, that it won't be just like something that's on your side that nobody appreciates. It's like, exactly. Now it's like, if you do it, like, now you have people that go like, whoa, that's really cool. Like, let's hear your music. And they'll actually appreciate for what it is instead of like, oh, that's cool, I guess. And then stop. Yeah. Because it's like, now it's like, people are going happy Diwali and they actually explain to you what it is. They give you the Indian sweets, like things like that. Like, everybody's like, it's really good that we're all very open about our cultures and accepting, but it's just kind of weird because like we spent so long suppressing it, and now it's like, oh, I gotta dig it back up because people want to see it.
And it was really confusing to me because I went through that same exact process that you did. I grew up here and then I moved to India, and we thought it was going to be permanent for 2 years, but we ended up moving back. So I was in India for 7th and 8th grade, and then I came back and did all of my high school and college here. So when we moved to India, I celebrated that I was American. And I made sure, like, I remembered, like, I didn't want to forget anything. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, you write the date differently in anywhere except America.
Yes,
but
exactly.
But I would whine and grumble about it every single time. And I clung to my accent. I was, like, I was terrified I would lose my American accent. But the truth was, like, I had a different accent at home and at school,
yes.
In elementary school, in middle school, in India, in America, I've always had two accents.
Yes.
And like that was something that I had to come to terms with because I also didn't want to admit that for a long time.
No, everybody that most people that come from a background like that's culturally different than outside is, for sure. Like, I mean, I don't have it as much because like, I'm a trained actor, so I never break role, I never break character. But same thing with my brother, like when he's at home, he talks a certain way. But then I hear him like on the phone with his friends, and I'm like, who is that speaking? I don't even recognize that voice. It's so weird.
I know.
But yeah, it's like when you have multiple parts of your identity, you kind of like, you have one person that you are at home and then one person that you are like outside.
Yeah. And that's stuff that, it's hard to talk about that. And the accent was a really big thing that I had to kind of deal with as well. But then the thing was, the reverse wasn't true because I moved there and I was so desperate to make sure that I didn't forget any of my Americanness while I was there. And I didn't even know that I'd be coming back. But then once I learned I was coming back, I was like, oh, okay. And I didn't think to bring any of that Indianness with me. I didn't think to bring my culture with me. So while I was living there, all of our usual like holidays and celebrations were magnified. And it was really amazing. And I really liked that. But for some reason, I didn't feel like that was something that I was going to celebrate more once I came back here in high school or anything. It didn't feel like the reverse held. And now I'm seeing how wrong that feels. Like that shouldn't have been a thing. I wish I could, celebrate my culture more. And
Yeah, because it's so true. Like, it's such a interesting part about, like, we didn't feel like our culture was valued, and that's why we kind of abandoned it. But now it's like, no, it's like we're coming with a reckoning society that, like, everybody's culture is, like, valid and important. Like, you celebrate everybody. And that's like, oh, I wish I went back and, like, didn't tell myself to stamp that part of myself down.
Yes.
Yeah, so I feel like, it doesn't seem on the surface that relevant to tech, I guess, but just kind of, like, we didn't. Like, that was a valuable part of our identity in a way, or well, at least a significant part of it. And then we thought that we had to hide it from the rest of the world for multiple parts, many years of our, like, schooling career, because we didn't think it was important and we thought we'd be made fun of it or whatever. And it's, like, interesting to think about, like, what else are we, like, suppressing? Like, what else about our identities are we not letting to be free and like, just be there? And, like, how would it change our lives if we let ourselves be fully ourselves without, like, stomping down parts of ourselves?
Literally, we need to know how we can live the best possible lives we can.
Exactly.
Because we deserve it. Everyone deserves it. You deserve it.
You deserve it. You deserve it.
I absolutely do.
Yeah, because it's like a different perspective if you're just coming from somewhere else and just discussing that. You learn more and I can't like give you an example of how it would make your work better to know to like embrace your culture, but I don't know, just when you're embracing yourself, it makes everything better. And
it will make the quality of your life better. It will, yes, it will definitely help your work, your everything. It will help you.
Yes. Wow, that was beautiful. Oh my gosh.
Oh, it feels so good to talk about this.
Yes.
Wow. Oh, another thing is nowadays, like for cultural kind of awareness. I'm seeing a lot of culture through memes, which is a really subtle Asian trait, subtle Korean traits. It's really, I really love relating to them because we all, it's another just place to share and, yes. You know, saying, yeah, we all have the same exact experience of our parents yelling at us about a specific thing or like this particular, yeah, this phrase, I don't know. It's just, yeah.
That's
I appreciate that we have that
yes.
to share.
Cultural memes for the win.
Yes.
So this was something that I sort of struggled about adding into this discussion, but I identify as a woman that lives with a mental illness. So like, I mean, I can't necessarily tell you what it's like to be a woman that is that way in the world, because I don't know what it's like to not. Mm-hmm. So I can't share the experience with the other, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but I mean, I just think it's, since we're mentioning, like, I hope we mentioned, I know we didn't mention everybody. It's hard to get all the categories in there. And if we didn't, I'm sorry, you're still valid. You still deserve to be here, all of that. But I'll be remiss if I didn't mention, like, a key part of my identity, which is, like, somebody who has to deal with, like, mental health issues. And it's, like, kind of, I think it's telling that I didn't want to talk about it because it's, like, it's definitely hard to talk about. And it's definitely still, like, stigmatized as much progress has been made in the last few years and stuff. It's, like, people talk about therapy, all that stuff, like self-care, whatever, like it's good, but like it's still, at least especially in the context of work, it's hard to bring that up and like bridge that topic. Mm-hmm. So I just want to make sure that like that's also a thing. I can't really say how that affects, like how that intersects with my identity, but it's just a part of it, and I don't know, it's there.
Yeah, it's definitely another like aspect of the many parts of being human, right?
Yeah,
like we can these are all the categories we fall into. This can be stuff that we have or we don't have. And yeah, you're definitely right that it's hard to bring this up in a work setting still. And awareness and, you know, and movements towards making it more, I don't know, clear, accessible, like understandable and everything. All of that efforts are being made, but still like whenever I fill out that form,
mm-hmm.
For job, again, with job applications, I'm clearly applying. I'm just kidding.
Yes, okay. Actually, if you're hiring any or know anybody that's hiring, please hire her. She's looking for new grad positions. Yeah. Email us. We'll tell you how to hire her. Okay.
Yes. Thank you. Okay. Plug. Yeah. So it feels weird, like checking off the, like, do I have
a mental like disability yeah.
or not? Yeah. So I always, for that one, I say I choose to not answer it because I don't know how to answer it. And then like say someone checked yes, right? Because then how is that dealt with and how is that like accommodated in the workplace?
Because I can't give, like, there's nothing if they go like, okay, how do you want to be accommodated? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't, mm-hmm. like, I literally don't know how to answer that question. It just seems like it's more trouble than it's worth to be honest with that. And it's like, they can discriminate against you because of that and stuff. And it's like, because I was talking to my dad about this, it's like, should I mention this to like employers? And it's like, no, because you don't, they might discriminate against you based on that. And it's like, you want to think it doesn't happen. There isn't a way to like, you don't see people go into like, oh yeah, hey boss, I'm dealing with this thing. It's like, yeah. I mean, take a day off. Or I mean, sometimes you need to just like, you have to, because like something I've been thinking about is, I don't know how, like, people talk about therapy, like, maybe it's just a podcast to listen to, whatever, but, like, oh, yeah, I got a therapy, whatever, but, like, how do working people do that? Because if you're working from 9 to 5, like, those are also the therapist hours. Like, how do you, like, yeah, you take time off during work, but then that's, like, that already puts you behind everybody else because you're taking, like, an hour and then maybe another hour for, like, transportation to and fro to, like, go take care of yourself so that you're a better person, a better employee.
That's worth it because that will, like you just said, like, it will make you, you know, it'll help you function the best that you can. And you will need that hour or two away to be able to do the best you can.
But still, how do you do that? Do you just go like, yeah, every day, every like Thursday from like 9 a.m. to noon, I'm out of the office. Like, I mean, it's just, I just mean like, yes, you can do that technically, but it just, I don't know, like, especially for me, maybe it's just me, like, I'd be very worried about that. I'd be like, what do they think about me? Like, do they think I'm lazy because it's like, no, it's like, literally, I need to take care of myself, otherwise I can't do this job. But
then
to kind of reveal that, you have to talk about it and like with your manager and stuff, it's like, mm-hmm. hey, this is why I'm doing this, which is, yeah, another thing, which I guess it, I mean, not that I guess, like, I know it is necessary, but it's just kind of still scary to just bring that up and, like, how they would react and things like that.
Definitely, yeah. And I see that. I see where you're coming from. And I feel the same way, but if I'm thinking of, like, another, like, way I think about this, like, putting it into context is also think about it as if it were a physical disability and you had to go to, like, physical therapy to make sure your ankle can work again. And you have to take that time out every Thursday, 9 to 12, right? You need that to be able to be the best you, to be able to heal or to help yourself. Yes. And that's, if you're going to compare, because the comparison is, okay, I could be doing something in that 9 to 12 that, you know, I could be missing a meeting or something. Yes, but I don't think it's a comparable thing when you're struggling with either chronic pain or healing from whatever it is or your mental illness, because that by itself is a separate track from someone who doesn't have any of those things. I don't think it's a comparable thing, even though it's very easy to say, oh, I'm not doing the same thing as this other person is doing. And comparing your outsides to other person's, or sorry, comparing your insides to other person's outsides is a trap that I've fallen into a lot and I continue to do so. And it's just thinking about, you know everything about you and you don't necessarily know what other people are going through, and you just see people's successes. It's just, you're wired to see that. You're wired to see your own failures. You're wired to say, oh, one success of mine, it's a fluke. One failure of mine, I've, like, failed, I'm done. It's just how it works. Like, maybe that's a perfectionist thing, maybe that's just a human thing. That's just how it is. And so, yeah, I guess you have to learn to not internalize that as much. Yeah. And discussing with your manager and your team is something that is also a very personal thing. So it might not be easy, like, from the get-go, might not be easy if you don't feel like you're the right fit or the team's not a right fit. It's a point of comfort where you get to that, and trust. And, you know, here is how we're going to accommodate for physically disabled members of the team. We're going to have a ramp next to the stairs. Here's how we're going to accommodate for people who are dealing with a mental illness. We're going to, you know, give them that time to, and we're going to schedule meetings around that, around the therapy appointments. And I feel like that should be a comparable, that should be how we're comparing it.
Yeah.
Instead of, yeah, that's my thoughts.
Yeah, that's very insightful. Thank you for that. Because you're right. Like, I've heard people say that, like, it's like, you're taking care of a broken leg or, like, broken ankle, things like that. But I just hadn't thought about it in that way. It's like, yeah, because your job wouldn't be like, why are you taking 3 hours off to go to physical therapy? Yeah. Like, it's just like, yeah, you need to walk. Like, yeah. So, like, it's pretty much the same thing, because, like, it can be very debilitating if you don't take care of your mental stuff. So it's because I was just comparing it, like, yeah, they're perfectly, like, they're working the full 40 hours. But it's like, no, I shouldn't be comparing myself to that, because that's not the track I'm on. And that's really smart. I like that a lot. And yeah, thank you. Wow.
Yeah. I kind of use that for a similar kind of vein of thought, because I know that I take more time to learn the same stuff that my peers or my classmates spend less time learning. And it can be kind of frustrating, but this kind of what I need to be telling myself. And I get frustrated, but, you know, I also, this is what it is. So yeah. I'll get back on track.
Yeah. I like that. Like, everybody has their own path in their own way, and it's like, you might take longer now, but then when you get there, you'd be, like, a lot better than other people are, or things like that. And just
you just have to know your own pace and know yourself, and, like, not try to take shortcuts to match what other people seem to be doing.
That's very smart, because they're not you, only you are you. You know what you're capable of and what you can do. So that was beautiful. I think we just solved the world. but
I wish.
Yeah. Because that's what I've been wondering too. Like, when I see that check, that, like, disability thing, I'm like, I just feel like it doesn't apply to me. So I'm like, nope.
No.
It's like, literally, like, I don't know. It's like, no, I had imposter syndrome about my disability as well.
Literally, I was gonna mention a meme. Do I even really have imposter syndrome? Like, no, it's going downhill so bad. Sorry, I didn't mean, like, a negative thing, but, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know what to say. I'm literally thinking.
Gosh.
So, yeah, we need to be aware that it exists. And in terms of, like, when it comes to discussing it, whenever, like, it should be ideally you're in a comfortable enough environment and people are understanding enough and, like, your team, you know, you have that trust to be able to say, here is what I need to succeed and be my best. And that's how you would work that solution out.
Yes. Hopefully, yeah. You should all just be, like, more accepting of it. And that comes from more awareness of it. Because it's interesting. Because I went to, well, Grace Hopper. I'm going to be talking about Grace Hopper for literally, like, the next 4 years, if you can't tell already.
Yes.
But I went to this section, this, like, talk thing. It was, like, mental health in the workplace. And it was just, like, that was one section out of, like, one session. I can't say words today. That was one session out of, like, maybe hundreds. I don't know how many. They had a lot of things going on. Yeah. But that was just the one I saw about mental health. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go to that. Yeah. And it was what kind of surprised me was the amount of women that were in that room. It was a large conference room. Like, it was big, like, maybe the size of a ballroom. And all of that, there were a lot of women. Like, it was, like, standing room only, like, a lot of people there. And it just kind of, like, hit me, like, the amount of people that deal with that. But I had the fact that I'd never heard about that before was, like, why is nobody talking about it? Like, this is the only, this is, like, the one session that I come to and that I hear about this. But it's, like, apparently, like, I'm not the only one going through it, you know? So it's just kind of, like, talk to your friends about it. Like, make sure your friends are okay. It's, like, one, there's this, like, I think Instagram account literally called that. Make sure your friends are okay. It's just hella sweet. Yeah, but just, like, because, you know, people hide it a lot. And, I mean, not for, like, not something sensitive, but just kind of might be easier sometimes. And that's how you deal with it, whatever, whatever. But, like, just be kind. I don't know. This all just comes down to being kind. Yeah. And we all have our own struggles and stuff we're dealing with. So, you never know.
Yeah, I agree. It's hard to reach out to somebody, right? It's not easy. It's not always easy to talk about this or bring it up. Stigma still exists no matter how hard we're trying to. It's going to be a slow process, but we're tending towards the right direction. To make it more like known, you know, and educate people, but find an outlet, you know, just don't hold it all in. Yeah. Find a way to deal with it and do it often.
Yeah. Yes. That's important. And then if you're part of the population that doesn't have to deal with this, then I don't know if because I don't know how you think, but like I don't know if you can see how it affects kind of who we are and like what we bring to work, but like think of it like it's not exactly one-to-one, but having an experience and knowing this part of like being mentally like having a mental illness, so like I'm gonna change that a little bit, like dealing with trauma, for example, is you know what is sort of triggering and you know what is can affect other people. Mm-hmm. So if this is such a great example, but like if somebody's making a project that has like okay, this is such a great example. It's not even tech related, but that's
a little trigger warning for this part. I talk about some pretty serious mental health consequences. So if there are any young children listening, or if you are prone to being affected by this type of discussion, then I would please ask that you skip ahead by 15 seconds. You won't miss anything and it will just jump right back into the conversation. So yes, 15 seconds from now.
There's this TV show based on a book, 13 Reasons Why. Mm. And there was this very controversial in the first season. They had suicide depicted, trigger warning. I'll do a trigger warning before this. Okay. Yeah. There was a suicide depicted, and I feel like if there were people on that team that had dealt with a mental illness, there'd be more like cognizant of the fact that it could trigger people. Mm-hmm. That might be wrong. Maybe there were people that were involved with that do have that experience, but I just mean like that as an extreme example of that when you have more diversity in terms of like ability and in all sectors, and you are more careful about things that could affect other groups. And then, you know, like at least one person would speak up like, that's not okay. Like as a person in this population, like I know that that would affect me in this way, and then kind of talk you through that and like help you deal with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was scrolling through Twitter, as I do often, like way too much of my time on Twitter. And I saw this post by this woman in tech. She was at a dev conference, and one person got up on stage during the after party of the conference and was like, if you're not drinking, then you're not in the right place. Yeah, and she just kind of like, what? That's not right. Mm-hmm. And I went into the comments of that, and I was reading about people say like different reasons why they don't drink and how uncomfortable they felt at these conference after parties when everybody is like
why aren't you drinking? Like things just, I mean, they say it in a nice way, like as fun, like, oh, we're just having fun. But like, yeah. It actually, these are real people's lives that, you know, real choices, all that stuff. And it kind of also, people brought up the fact that like alcohol is so pervasive in the tech industry. Like there's alcohol everywhere. Like every single tech company I've been to, there's alcohol like all over the place. Like they have like beer socials. They have just like whiskey on tables. Like it's like, it's all the place.
Silicon Valley culture. You're right. I've seen that.
Yes. And like a lot of socializing, like, oh, if you're hanging out with your colleagues and stuff, it's like going out for drinks after work or something like that. Like a lot of just socializing in general, how you get to know people is over alcohol, and it is not inclusive for people that don't drink. They could have different reasons for that, like maybe they just don't like the taste, or like they are in recovery and like having a drink would be really, really bad for them, or just like religion or cultural reasons. Like there are many reasons that people can choose to not drink, and we should be respectful of that and not be like, you're not in the right place because you're not drinking. Like it's just not the other ways to relax than that.
Definitely, yeah. It's a pretty disrespectful thing to say. And is there a solution to this, or is it just kind of being more
open? Yeah. I mean, this is kind of because it's kind of a harder issue to fix because it's words. It's something that the larger culture deals with as well, because just, I mean, I got all of my life information from watching movies and TV shows, and like in those, a lot of like were people in their 20s, and even just once you turn 21, what everybody's doing is drinking. Like you see like, oh, the moms and the glasses of wine, and like, yeah, it just seems like culture is all about just being drunk and stuff. And like that then goes deeper into like with the tech industry. Like that's just like, they pull that from the larger culture. Like, oh yeah, socializing, all that stuff is about you drink. That's what you do. Mm-hmm. So I think we just have to change that idea of you have fun when you're drinking, just like, yeah, let's go hang out, do something that's not that, like grab some food or like play mini video golf. Games, I guess, mini golf, yeah, just different things that are more inclusive of people that don't do a particular thing. So it's just, yeah, because that is something you don't think about often. It's like if you don't drink, you're kind of left out from social situations when it comes to work and stuff and conferences, whatever.
Definitely. And it might seem like, or might feel like, a step towards inclusivity to say, you know, you can come along and totally welcome and invited to come along even if you don't want to drink, but it's not the same, like it's not the same feeling, it's not the same kind of socializing, and there's still a degree of being left out. And so yeah, that's something that is by default exclusionary. It does not allow for everyone's participation. Yes. That's definitely a good thing to keep in mind. And I didn't even realize until you said, like you mentioned that, yeah, pretty much every company that you've been to around in Silicon Valley has that alcohol element to it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's really something to keep in mind.
Yes, there are like a million different ways that you can be inclusive of people, and like it's just like that's like one little, not little, but like one thing, like alcohol, but they can have, like for most people you wouldn't think about it, but for that one person that can't do that, mm-hmm. then it's just such a limit to them. Like if you go out with your team for drinks or something and your manager's there, and it's like, oh yeah, they get to bond, but like that bonding is so important, because especially like it's so important when you don't have it. Mm-hmm. Like if everybody in your team goes out to drink with the manager and they're like having more fun experience. Yeah, they get to know each other, spend hours, they drink, they get more loose, they start like revealing secrets, like it's fun. But like if you're not able to be there because you don't drink, or even if you're not able to like get as like free spirited as they are because of the inebriation, then you don't get to that level of like involved, and you don't get to that like closeness that they are. So that's already a hindrance because of that one thing.
Definitely, yeah. It shouldn't be the only, like the only way to bond, as you said.
Yeah,
more options should be considered.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, there are many ways to be more inclusive of people. So just be mindful, and I highly encourage everybody out there to think about different parts of your identity, what makes you who you are, your different experiences, and think about especially the parts of yourself that you're suppressing, because mm-hmm. you might not really think about it, but like there are parts of you that you're like, I don't want to like bring that out into the world, I don't want to share it, like mm-hmm. and you're suppressing it. You might think you're okay with it, but I mean, you might be, but like I feel like a lot, like I thought I was okay with it, turns out I'm not really. So just I encourage you to think about it and especially talk about it if you have people to talk about it with. Yes. Don't keep it bottled up and just know what's going on inside and outside, of course, and just and be nice to be kind because there's a lot.
Bottom line.
Yeah. Yes, bottom line, be kind because like there are a million things going on with everybody. So
exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't know what anyone is going through and it's not fair to assume it either.
Yes. So yeah, that was everything we have to say about intersectionality for now. It was a really deep discussion and a lot of these things we'll revisit in another episode, especially the one about mental health, because mm-hmm. I mean, at least for both of us right now, it's like a pretty big topic and we're probably not the only ones out there. So we will have a more in-depth discussion about that and others. And next week, we're going to hear from Isabel and her manager about what it's like to come from a non-traditional background in tech. So that's going to be really interesting because that's another part of identities that aren't necessarily represented in all workplaces. So that's going to be cool. And for now, thank you for your time, Prathusha.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me, Marietta.
Oh, of course. Yes.
Thank you for listening to this episode. To get all of our links, you can Google linktree.com/techgirltalk, which you can also access by going to linktr.ee/techgirltalk. If you want it the old way, we are at techgirltalk.sj on Instagram. On Twitter, we are at techgirltalk_sj, and our Facebook group is techgirltalk.sj. If you want to email us about anything to hire Prathusha or resources or Girl the Spotlight for our This Girl Techs, our email is stemnow.sjsu@gmail.com. Please subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening to this so you can keep up to date on episodes and tell your friends about us. We're currently available on Spotify and wherever you're listening to this currently. We're also on Apple Podcasts now, which is pretty big. The easiest link to share and the place we can get all of our information is at anchor.fm/techgirltalk. Again, that is anchor.fm/techgirltalk. Like I mentioned earlier, next week we'll be hearing from Isabel and her manager at our internship, another girl in tech, about what it's like to come into the industry from a non-traditional background. So stay tuned for that. And until then, thank you so much again for listening and keep teching, girl. Okay, bye.